lead someone to Jesus? What are three things, when by the end of this conversation, this person must know when you're leading them to Jesus? Okay, so you've got 5 minutes for that. You can go now, groups of four and five. Lekker, kom, move. So 3 points. What are you, 3 points of what you think are important when you're leading someone to Jesus? Okay, you can start finishing up. I'm going to get going. Okay, lekker. Let's get going again. Mark's got a lot to say. Okay, Mark's going to be preaching tonight. No, joking. Mark loves Jesus, so when you get him going, he can talk. Okay, let's get some feedback. We'd like to share one or two points from the group discussion. Let's go. Let's start here. The handicap crew. We'll let you guys start first because you need a handicap.
You mustn't be shy. Share to share your testimony.
Okay, so sharing your testimony, it's always a good place to start. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, who wants next? Come. Why are you guys so shy all of a sudden? Okay, Mark. What do people need to know by the end of the conversation?
I think people, you need to convey to the person that they're loved and they're forgiven because Christ died on the cross because he loved us.
Okay, lekker. Who else? Okay. Mr. Financial Consultant, are you going to consult us?
There's something that I actually picked up for the past few weeks, call it that. And this approach I've been using quite a bit, and it seems to be working. When you walk into a room, you immediately can feel if what's their state of mind, what's their spiritual side, what they're following. If you walk into a room and you get this bad vibe from someone, something isn't right there. Why? What's wrong with them? What limits have they placed on themselves? What caused that? And how can you show them that those limits are put there by themselves, not by God, by them as a person, as an individual, by their fears that we spoke about now. That's something I'd say is, first of all, step one. If you can identify what this person is, what is holding them back, what is acting as an anchor, restricting them from going forward, and then showing them by maybe testimony or a more aggressive approach if you want, but you will, in my opinion, you will, as you go along this conversation, you will get the tools that you need. If you are in the right place, you will get the tools you need in that moment to address this person sitting in front of you right now.
Fantastic. Lekker. So before you start, you got to sort of assess where you're starting from, essentially. Okay. Let's get two more people. Okay, hello ladies, hoe gaan het? Hey Jama, how's it going? Looking lovely today.
Okay, we had the point of sharing a testimony and also just once you, like he said, assessing where they are, showing them that life with outside of life outside of Christ is worthless, but not in those words. And then obviously repentance, that living outside of God, really there is no hope. And then, yeah.
Okay, like it. So repentance, life outside of God, fantastic. Ladies, okay, you're going to be the last group. No pressure, hey? You have to get this right, otherwise.
Hi, everyone. I normally start with a random conversation, asking how are you, and then you tell me how you are, and as we go on, and then I just keep asking, and like, okay, I just come out with the question, how is your relationship with God? That's very interesting, and then we start talking from there, and then I end up inviting the person to church.
Awesome. Okay. So everybody is right. Okay. Nobody got terribly wrong. You know, I'll give it back feedback later in an email or something. I'm joking. Okay. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at sort of what does the Word of God say and how can we use this information to reach someone. Okay. Because the problem is that we've got great testimonies, got great stories, but when we want to tell them about the Word, we don't know the Word, and that's a bit of a problem, okay? So we're talking about salvation, but what does the Bible say about salvation? Now what I'm sharing with you, I don't want you to just write down point for point and then regurgitate it like a parrot when you see somebody. You're going to scare them, okay? We don't want to scare people. So you've got to understand that you're dealing with people, but what I'm going to be giving you is hopefully a toolbox filled with tools to take out at your discretion and use them where appropriate. Okay, so before we go, you can go to the next page. What I want everybody to do, okay, you've got to take out a notebook, a cell phone, something that you can write notes on. Everybody's got to do this. No options. It's compulsory. Okay. So whenever you see a scripture highlighted in red, I want you to write down that scripture. Okay. So this is the challenge, okay? So you're going to write down all these scriptures. You're going to, and then in your next quiet time, tomorrow morning or as the day progresses, however you do your quiet time, I want you to read through these scriptures. And this is a practice you should do on your own anyway, because the Word says that you must test everything by the Word. So everything that I'm saying, you don't just accept it and yes, no. You go to the Word, you go read the Word, you ask God, is what Luke was saying, was it a load of rubbish? Or does this line up with what you're telling me? Okay? Because you're responsible for your own salvation. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? It's on you to do it. So, this is a practice, a discipline you should incorporate in your everyday quiet time. Every time you go to church, you should be taking notes. Write down what the guy's saying, and don't just accept what he says as being ultimate truth. Ultimate truth comes from Jesus, and you go and check it up with him. Okay. The second reason why we're going to do this is because I'm going to challenge you guys. We together are going to memorize these scriptures. There's going to be a lot of scriptures, okay? I'm not going to be reading all of them. They're just going to be highlighted. Write them down. But as this nations and generations theme is for 2 months, so as the 2 months progresses, we're going to be memorizing these scriptures together. So we'll give you guys feedback. I'll also make a plan to get the full list out to you as well. But don't just think, okay, because the lecturer's uploading the slides, I'm not going to take notes. No. Take notes. Okay. Lekker. So, who's keen for this? Memorizing scripture together. Okay. Awesome. Great. We're going to be sharpening our swords today. Awesome. Okay, so, before we go anywhere with leading somebody to Jesus, step number one, we've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. I like the way he put it, is that there's a problem in the sense that you're the problem. You know, that you're the one with the issues, not God. Okay, that's not a very nice way of telling people that, so don't go and say, you've got all the problems. Okay, Don't say that to people. But there is an element, I like how he put it, assessing the situation. Okay? Like, and we've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. What is the problem? Romans 3, verse 23. Highlight it. Write that down. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say that word, all. Okay, so not some people. Okay, as great as I am, you know, and as humble as I am, I too have sinned, you know. So when the Bible says for all have sinned, there's not one person that is without exception, okay? For all have sinned. You guys are all sinners before you meet Jesus. When Jesus comes, he wipes the slate clean. You are no longer identified as a sinner. You are identified as a son or daughter of God. Okay, everybody's happy. But until that time, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I also want you to take note of the fact that it's not just about the fact that we've sinned that is the problem. The other problem is that we have fallen short of the glory of God. The issue is not that we have just sinned. There's also an issue in the fact that no one of us measures up to the level of God. Okay, that's an issue. Okay, it's time for another sermon. That's a topic for another sermon. I wish I could go into it. Also, write down Romans 6 verse 23, Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23. I'm not going to read these. I want you guys to write them down yourself. Read them in your quiet times. And memorize some great scriptures though. Okay, but these are scriptures that, you know, are very common. A lot of them you're going to hear, you would have heard of before. Very useful tools when you're talking to somebody, especially when it's a random meeting. If you know these scriptures, you can literally move mountains. Okay, great. Basic scriptures everybody should know. Yes, I should write a book, eh? Basic scriptures everybody should know. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So in this conversation, there's got to be an acknowledgement of the fact that I am a sinner, however they choose to acknowledge, I have a problem, okay? And I don't measure up to the level of God, okay? I don't level up to God's standards. Great. But, next slide, please. I have to say next slide because we've got a bit of a problem with the computer and I need to give them some warning. Next slide. But Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Again, there's a few key points. So God demonstrates his own love towards, say love towards us. In that while we were still sinners, say still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a very important, that still sinners part, that's a very important part. Okay, because you need to convey to the person that it's not when you do these things that God's love is going to apply to you. You've got to convey to the person that while you are still a sinner, while you are still in the state that you are in, as you sit in front of me, as you stand in front of me, as we are having this conversation, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Okay, so while we were still sinners, not while we had reached enlightenment or found salvation or blah, blah, blah. No, while you are in this state, no matter how bad you feel now, no matter what you have done, God's love applies to you now. So we've established that there's a problem, that you are a sinner, that you have fallen short of the glory of God. But while you were in this state, God has loved you. He has laid down his life for you. Isn't that amazing? Okay? That not once I have earned something, not once you have earned something, does God's love start to apply. It's now, right now. Okay? So Matthew 18, verse 11, For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Jesus came to earth just for this very reason. That because you were a sinner. If there weren't any sinners, there'd be no reason for him to die on the cross. Right? Okay. John 13, verse 17. Write that down. Okay, so now we've told them these wonderful things. Okay, first, okay, we told them some bad news. Sorry, you're a sinner. Told them another really cool thing. Hey, Jesus loves you. Loves you so much that while you're here, Okay? He's going to save you. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. What a ride. Great. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, so how can I be saved? Okay, you want to have this conversation to the point where in one form or another, they want to know, yes, Luke, that sounds amazing, but how does this actually happen? Okay? So there are, I'm not talking about what must I do to be saved. I'm talking about how can one be saved. So there's one thing that we have to be very clear on. There's a couple of things that we're going to talk about that you need to be very clear on when you talk to somebody about Jesus. You don't want to pull the wool over their eyes. Christianity is not like a secret society, and when you get to the next level, then you're going to know more truth. No, Christianity works like when you meet Jesus, okay, he's out front, he's up front with you. There's nothing that you don't know, or at least that's how it should be. So we've got to be very up front with people. The only way that you can be saved, you're a sinner, Jesus came to die for you, and let me make it very clear that there's only one way you can be saved, and that is through Jesus. Okay? So you understand you're a sinner, you recognize that there's a problem, but you need to understand that the only way that you can be saved is through Jesus. What does Scripture say? John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I misspelled through. I'm very sorry. Let's say that together. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. Okay. If I don't say that there's a spelling mistake, Omo's going to tell me. So, but we love you. Okay. Write down Hebrews 9, verse 15. John 3, verse 3. Okay. So, Hebrews 9, verse 15 is an amazing scripture. So please read that one. Fantastic. I deliberately did not read it because I want you to discover it again. Okay, so now I understand how I can be saved. I understand that when I speak to the person, or when I go about my daily life, there's nothing around here. There's no other religion. There's no other source or thing that's going to make me feel better to the point of which I feel saved. Okay, if you want to talk about why is Jesus the only way when there's so many other gods, that's a whole topic for a whole different sermon. If you want to come ask me about it, it's a fantastic conversation. I love having it, but we got to move on. But if that's a question you have, go find an answer. There is an answer, and it's a good one. Okay, lekker. So then we come to the nitty-gritty. Okay, so I know that I need to be saved through Jesus. I know that I'm a sinner. There's a problem. I know that Jesus has come to save me. I know that there is no other way I can be saved through Jesus. Okay, now it's the nitty-gritty. What do I actually have to do to be saved? Okay, so number one, we've got to repent. You've got to understand that you've got to tell that person, they've got to acknowledge the fact that the way that they're going is the wrong way. And they need to turn around and go the other way. That's what repentance literally means. Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to turn around 180 degrees. You were going one way, you turn completely around and you go a different way. Yeah, do you understand that? Okay. So repentance literally means to turn around and walk the other way. They've got to understand that everything that they have been walking towards, they've got to turn around and leave. They've got to walk away from. They've got to go the other direction. They've got to understand that they weren't just like near the answer and then, you know, just slightly off. You know, they've got to understand that everything that they were holding on to, they've got to let go. Okay, so write down that. Acts 2 verse 38. Fantastic scripture. Another conversation that you've got to have, you know, is the fact that you've got to count the cost. You've got to be very upfront with them that Christianity, the only thing that Jesus promised in Christianity is persecution, actually, which is a little scary. He didn't promise riches. He didn't promise that you'd have a great life and you'd be happy all the time. The only thing that Jesus promised us was persecution. He said, people will persecute you. And Jesus is very upfront about that. And you've got to be upfront about people with that as well. Okay, you don't want to scare them away, but there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians that get saved. They hit the first speed bump, the first problem, and they're like, I don't want anything to do with this, because they're like, well, didn't you guys promise sunshine and rainbows and stuff and fairies and unicorns and everything was supposed to be happy and great, you know? And I'm not saying that there isn't peace and there isn't joy. But your peace and your joy will come despite the persecution. The Bible does promise that. There will be peace, there will be joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, and we wouldn't need strength unless we were put in a place where we needed strength. Right? You understand that when you get to heaven, there isn't going to be any healing because there's going to be no need for healing. But we still understand that healing is a good thing, but healing can only take place when there is sickness. Does that make healing bad? No. It makes sickness bad. But when you don't have a need for healing, right, then there's no healing. So there will be no healing in heaven because we will be renewed, we will be made one with God, every tear will be wiped away. You understand? So we've got to understand that you will be persecuted, but God says, I will be with you till the end of the age. Jesus says it at the end of Matthew chapter 28. Great Commission. I've said it many times. It's also another one of the scriptures I'm going to get you to write down and memorize. Jesus says at the end of that, I will be with you till the end of the age. He promises that. I'm going to be with you. There will be peace. There will be joy. You have been given a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. There are those promises, but those promises are there in the midst of persecution, not in the absence of it. Understood? And this is the conversation you've got to have with this person. You've got to get the expectations right. Count the cost. There's another fantastic scripture there. I think it is Luke 14, verse 28. It says, what kind of a person starts building a building if he hasn't assessed the cost for that building? Okay, very simple. Deny yourself. Matthew 16, verse 24. When I said you've got to turn the other way, you've literally got to turn away from everything that you want, everything that you hold precious, everything that you hold dear. You've got to put that aside and turn the other way and start walking towards what Jesus wants. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to pick up your cross with the understanding that this isn't going to end well for you. When you pick up your cross, you're picking it up for one reason and one purpose. To die. Okay? It's not going to work out very well for you. Great. Fantastic. Everybody's happy. Follow Jesus. John 3 verse 16. Write it down. And finally, you've got to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to believe or choose to believe that Jesus can do what he says he can do. That he can save you from your sin. That he can save you from eternal damnation. It's a very important part. Okay, we've got to actually trust that Jesus can do what he says. We've got to trust when we read the Word of God. We've got to have faith in the fact that what the Word is saying is true. That what the Word of God says about God is true. Okay, it's easy to say God is love, but if we don't believe it, it means nothing. Okay, fantastic. So finally, you know, you've given this in the course of a conversation as you have deemed necessary, and you've discerned that what needs to be shared and what doesn't need to be shared. Understand that I'm not. I just want to reiterate what I said at the beginning, that this isn't something that you write down and then just parrot learn in front of them. Okay, you've got to discern the person. You've got to assess what's going on and share appropriate where you see the need. Okay, so I'm giving you tools here, but you know, if you're using a spanner where you're supposed to be using a screwdriver, you're gonna have a problem. Okay, Lekker. I'm giving you a toolbox. So finally, the last point is that there has to be a confession. Okay, Romans 10 verse 9. And then I want you to go read Romans 10 verse 10. Also a fantastic scripture. So Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth, so There's a verbal utterance with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why is it so important? Romans 10 verse 10 has a great answer to it. You're going to go read it yourself tomorrow morning. Amen? Fantastic. So why is it so important that we declare these things with the mouth? But it's kind of like when you're in a relationship with somebody, okay? You want to get married, okay? So just like, where's Johan and Jeannie? Hey, they're engaged, okay? And now their intention to get married is fantastic, but it means absolutely diddly squat until they get to the point where they're in front of people and they speak their vows in front of each other, and they make a commitment for marriage to each other in front of people, okay? So they can say, yeah, but, you know, we've been in a relationship for so long, okay? We're practically kind of married, you know? So, you know, we like each other, but that means nothing until they get to the point where they say their vows and they commit to this relationship formally and in front of people. According to our own laws, according to the laws of God. And it's the same thing with God. It's like you can be very intentional about being a good person, but you're only in a relationship with God when you've confessed and made certain declarations about following him. And we're going to go through that just now. I'm going to give you a basic template just now for a prayer that you can do yourself. Okay. So Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not just a matter of saying it, it's also a matter of, just like I said before, putting your faith in Jesus. It's also a matter of believing that he can do what he says he can do. That there are certain times, especially when persecution comes, that persecution that Jesus promised, where it's difficult to believe that I am a son of God. And I make a decision to believe it because that's what the Word of God says. I stand on what the Word of God says. God says that the old has gone and the new has come. And sometimes I'm still struggling with things from my past, but I choose to believe that I am a new creation, not because of what I'm doing, but because of what Jesus has done. Amen? Fantastic. Okay, so there's just a couple of things to remember. Number one, very important, we just discussed it. You're saved by faith. Okay, so you've got to understand that there's nothing you can do. Remember that scripture we read right at the beginning? While we were still sinners, God loved us. God's love applies to us while we were still sinners. Okay, and that's something you've got to remember, that your salvation comes by faith, and the righteous will live by faith. Understood? You are righteous dependent on whether or not you choose to believe that God can save you from your sins. Does anybody know what righteousness means? Anybody? Mark, you know the answer. You can't say anything. To be righteous means to be in right standing with God. So a righteous person is in right standing with God. Okay? And you've got to understand there's a problem. What was the problem we discussed right at the beginning? You're a sinner. Okay? I love it when people come forward for prayer and they say, oh, I don't feel worthy. You know, I don't feel worthy. I love saying it. You're not worthy. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. That's the whole point. You know? We need Jesus. We're not worthy. We're sinners. There's a problem. But when we choose to believe that Jesus saves us from our sin, okay, when we take on what he says, I've died for you, I have taken away your sin, I have made atonement for your sin, I was the lamb that was slaughtered in place of the lamb that you were supposed to give to the high priest, I took your place, you were actually supposed to die, but I did it. So everything's been paid up front. Don't worry about it. Okay, and you need to make a decision. I'm either going to choose to believe that, or I'm not. And that's about as simple as it gets. There's another scripture I should have put on here. It's from Deuteronomy 49 verse, I can't remember the exact verse, but it says, Today I call heaven and earth upon against you today, that there is life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life that you may live. Rough paraphrasing, and you memorize that scripture. Fantastic scripture. I'll put it out on the list that I get out. Choose life. That's about as simple as it gets. And it's something that I want you to convey to the person, that it's as simple as a choice. What do you want? Do you want to be saved, yes or no? Do you want hate or love in your life? Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus or not? Just choose. It's as simple as that. And in your conversation, your number one goal is this. Not for you to save that person, but to clear away all the rubbish so that they can get to Jesus and make this decision, yes or no. Simplify everything. That is mission goal. We had a guy come speak here a few months ago from America. His name was Michael. And he's big into apologetics. That's the discipline of defending Christianity. And he had a vision of what apologetics is. He said, it's like he's in a tornado. A tornado's just come through this town. And he's standing on one street, and there's a cross at the end of the street. But he can't get to it because there's all this debris. All the worries, all the reason, all the doubt, all this debris all over the path. And he says, apologetics, and that's basically what you're doing when you're talking to somebody about Jesus. The art of sharing Jesus with people is just this. It's like you're the bulldozers, the heavy machinery, and all you're doing is you're not saving that person. That's Jesus' job. All you're doing is moving all the stuff out of the road so that they can easily walk to the cross. That's all you do. Okay, and that is the objective of your conversation. Okay? If you're walking out of that conversation thinking, wow, I'm such a great person because I led that person to Jesus, okay, you've missed something. Then you've led that person to yourself. Okay? Not to you. Okay. So join a church. First study your Bible. Pray. Study your Bible so God can talk to you. Pray so you can talk back to God. Basic disciplines as well. Join a church, Hebrews 10 verse 25. So, read the scripture before that. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, don't neglect the gathering of the saints. But before that it says, think of ways to stir each other up. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Think of ways to stir each other up. To encourage each other, okay? So write down Hebrews 10, verse 25. I don't see you writing anything, Clive. Sure. I'm watching you. Okay, Acts, tell people about your faith. That's another very important thing. When you share with somebody their faith, you got to share with them that, yes, Jesus has saved you. Now it's so amazing, it's so wonderful. Go and share what God has done with you, okay? Acts 1 verse 8, Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. That's a great commission. I've said that a million times because does somebody know it? Can somebody recite the great commission for me? Okay, it's good enough. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Sheesh, I wasn't even right about the 49. Okay. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. That's my wife. She's amazing. Hey, Leafy. Hey. She's coming home with me tonight. Anyway. So, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you till the end of the age. Fantastic. Great commission. Okay. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I'd like everybody to stand. Okay, let's stand together. Okay. So So I'm going to read a prayer to you, okay? And I just want everybody to keep quiet. I don't want you to read it just yet, okay? So, yeah, thank you. So I'm going to read this prayer. I'm going to ask you to recite it just now. But for now, I'm just going to read it. Just keep quiet for a while, okay? And this prayer is a template, a prayer that you can use to share the gospel, so and bring them to a place where they can confess their faith. And it's not like it's scripture or anything. So it's not like you have to memorize it. Like I said, it's just a template. It's a tool that you can use. And I'm just going to read it. Okay. Lord, I come to you as a sinner. I repent of all my sins. I deny myself, my will, my dreams, my desires, my choices, my rights, my whole life. I die to myself so I can be both born again as a new creation and a totally new person. I choose to follow you and do your will. I submit to you as my King and receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now forgiven and that my sins are removed. Father, I commit to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind, and all my strength. You are my first love. I love you more than anything or anyone. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, Father, that I'm now your child. Amen. Amazing thing about this prayer, or any such salvation prayer, is the fact that we need to say it quite often. We got to remind ourselves. Because there's things that we know, but knowing up here and knowing in our hearts is sometimes a bit two different things. There was one guy who said, the longest journey that anybody will ever take is from the head to the heart. Isn't that amazing? The longest journey that anybody will take in their lives is from their head to their hearts. Because what we register up here and what we register in our hearts are two different things. And I've said a lot of information today. And I went through it very quickly. But there's something that we've got to understand. There's something that you've got to understand. Before you walk out this door and go share with somebody, is that while we were still sinners, God displayed his love in the fact that he sent Jesus to die for you. So we've spoken a lot about anxiety, about fear, about not getting things right, about the fact that I'm still messing up. There's something that you've got to understand before you walk out the door, that while you are here now, as you stand, not the future you or the better you or the one that is started businesses, the one who has led 10,000 people to Jesus, not that person who you will be, and I'm saying that prophetically on purpose. There will be people here who start businesses. There will be people here who bring tens of thousands of people to Jesus. There will be people here whose names will be remembered for changing entire nations. But before we get there, before you are that person, you've got to understand that while you are here now, regular old Joe, working a 9-to-5, sitting, studying for exams, and you don't know how it's going to fit into the bigger picture. Just a regular bloke with regular friends. While you are this person, Jesus died for you. And while you may not be worthy, Jesus has assigned worth to you. You are deemed to be valuable, not because of anything you can offer or give, but simply by the fact that Jesus has looked at you and said, I will die for this person. I will lay down my life for this person. And that in that act, he has put so much value upon your lives. They're not even the entire earth could hold that amount of money to compensate. And that is a fact, and that is the truth. That while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. So just while, we're going to bow our heads quickly. Okay. And if this is a prayer that you want to re-pray, okay, you're at a place where your relationship with God is not at a great plan. You don't know what to do to get back to God. Things are not working out the way you planned. You thought that everything's going to go great. Things are not working out. But I'm inviting you to come back to Jesus. In fact, what I'm going to say to you is that not only was Jesus still there, he didn't go anywhere. And it's not a matter of being back with Jesus. He never left. It's a matter of you just turning around and just seeing and acknowledging him for being there. So we're going to read this prayer again. Okay. And we're all going to read it together, because even if you are feeling strong and your relationship with God is at a great place, it's a good thing to go back to a prayer like this, something similar, and just read it again. And just remind ourselves where we come from and where we're going. We came from sin, we're going to eternal life, to eternal victory, okay? To a place of conquering, okay? So let's just read this together. Lord, I come to you as a sinner. I repent of all my sins. I deny myself, my will, my dreams, my desires, my choices, my rights, my whole life. I die to myself so I can be born again as a new creation, a totally new person. I choose to follow you and do your will. I submit to you as my King and receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now forgiven and that my sins are removed. Father, I commit to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind, and all my strength. You are my first love. I love you more than anything or anyone. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, Father, that I am now your child. Amen. Let's just give God a hand clap. So just while every head is bowed, let's just close our eyes.